welcome to the Andrew Luck Book Club podcast. I'm Andrew Luck, and I am honored, thrilled, excited, super, super stoked to be joined by Tony and Kelly Trent, the parents of Ethan Blake and Tyler Trent. Welcome back to West 56th Street, the Colts facility. Trent parents.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. What an honor it is to sit with you.
It's our honor, and I also think our honor to receive the story that you've shared about your eldest son, yourselves, his story, the upset, life, sports, which we'll talk about sports, but death and the legacy we leave in the middle, the Tyler Trent story. If you haven't heard of Tyler Trent, you've probably been living under a rock the past couple of years. What an amazing story. What an amazing life. What an impactful life that was taken too soon. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
It really is our pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And so first, I'd like to talk about sports. You know, probably most of us know Tyler. Well, I guess us in Indianapolis, maybe a different way. But the Ohio State-Purdue game, his prediction, the game. I remember watching it and having met you guys a couple times beforehand and obviously known your story. But what did Tyler see in sports?
Tyler was a competitive kid.
Yeah.
And even though he didn't play a lot of sports, he actively participated in sports. And what that looked like was either in board games or watching sports or just being a part of sports. And his competitiveness came out in that, especially watching the Colts play.
Oh, yeah.
He would literally get up and yell at the TV and say the ref made the wrong call. actually, we have a reference to a referee in the book that's kind of a perspective that most people might not think about. Mm-hmm. But so he loved sports, and he loved...
statistics and data analytics. I mean, that's what he wanted to do for a living.
Yeah.
Like, he knew everything there was to know without actually being a player.
Yeah, and he collected cards, and I remember my father, he made a big glass case for some of his favorite players. So when he was young, he would organize them in books. We literally have books and books of sports cards that he collected when he was a little kid.
Awesome. That's awesome. And certainly we wouldn't be sitting here together without sports. I know my life and football and such a big part of Tyler's story is sports. And what did they do for your son? There's the relationships with the Purdue football team and the coaches and other, you know, can you speak about what that did for Tyler and your family?
Looking back, like, I feel like Purdue was at a place that they needed some momentum. And for whatever reason, Tyler kind of, you know, that one Friday, his freshman year, the first home game, I think they were playing
Michigan. Oh, it's my favorite story. It's my favorite.
Because that's really where his story.
With his friend Josh Seals,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, who lives in our neighborhood. His mom's my best friend. But, he was at Riley for chemo that day. And he just was like, you know what? If I'm in, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking back. He's diehard about everything he does. And he just was ready to bring a little bit of momentum to some Purdue football. He was all about Coach Jeff Brohm.
Yeah.
He saw who he was about. You know, I feel like before an average student might have.
Yeah.
He really got it. Like, he did truly understand just the quality of a guy he was, quality of a coach he was. Yeah. And he was just ready to get something started.
That's awesome. It's my favorite story, or one of many favorite. It's my favorite sports story, maybe, of him and his friend Josh Seals camping out, as you mentioned, the day, having driven back from Indianapolis at Riley and chemotherapy and setting up a tent for a Purdue team that there wasn't much energy or buzz around. And two of them, and the attention blew up in a way that maybe only in the 21st century with Twitter and Instagram. That it can, and you know, Greg Doyle makes it out there, and a friendship begins.
Yep.
You know, who we see a lot covering the Colts, and Jeff Brohm comes the next day to say thank you. It really was touching, story.
Yeah, they kind of both needed each other.
Yeah,
it was cool dynamic.
Yeah, I basically share. You know, Tyler needed something to take his mind off of cancer.
Yeah,
he needed something that had that gave him some hope and basically the Purdue football team needed him. They needed some student to, you know, rally the troops, if you will. And it just exploded after that. You know, Purdue started doing well, and Tyler was kind of the leader of the pack of getting everybody involved with Purdue football, and it just grew from there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Sports, so many great stories, and certainly Tyler's involvement in them. One of the great stories of the past couple of years.
Right. Well, and, you know, and from that game, I think, you know, as you probably read in the book, he then became a reporter for the Exponent at Purdue. And so he followed basketball. And so then it just evolved into this, like, you know, just the different things that he got to do and report on. And like Tony said, I just think it was between Purdue and the Colts and the Cubs.
Yeah.
I just think it was in Pacers. It was just a complete outlet for him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love how he admits being an IU fan as a kid growing up, despite his father, maybe.
Not really, but
Yeah, that was...
maybe a little part.
He liked to have a little bit of a jab here and there, and man, he did get me with those things, I'll tell you. He would make comments about things. I just wanted to throw him out of the house.
That's funny.
The interesting thing was we went to three schools, Purdue, IU, and NC State.
Yeah.
And we, you know, spent our day, you weren't with us, but Tony wasn't, but we spent our day at IU and we got in the car and he was like, yeah, no, this isn't it. Like, it was just like that. Like, he just knew.
We went to Clemson too, but
Yeah.
That's a good football team.
It is.
That's a good football team.
It is.
And Dabo is a great guy.
Yeah, he's some wonderful interactions that you guys write about with him.
Yeah.
And so you talked about sports. It struck me as a way, as a sort of something to get his mind off a canter, be able to live life, maybe a reason to go do things normal, for lack of better word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Michigan game camping out, when we talked a little bit about this before, but that was during a second bout with cancer. Mm-hmm. And what really, really struck me reading the book was the honesty, humility, the ownership, the agency that Tyler took over his own story, and that the Trent family took over the reality, I guess, of what was going on. And then and Tyler writes incredibly insightfully, and this struck me the most probably about his struggles in his first bout with cancer, and very raw and sad. And then how much what he learned from that and how he applied it to his second and third bout. And I'm sure it was not easy all the time, by no means easy, but it seemed like there was this massive paradigm shift in attitude in Tyler that he actually learned from his experience and didn't let it drag him down or bring him down. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, Andrew, you know, all of us have upsets in life, and I'm sure you can relate with your injury, and wondering in your mind if you're ever going to ever get to play again, and what that felt like, and the hopelessness and this disparity, and gosh, do I ever get the thing that I actually love doing? Do I ever get to do that again? And Tyler went from. And we as parents went from the place of when the tumor first came in his shoulder and going through the questions, will Tyler ever, he'll never get to throw a ball again. He'll never get to swim again. He'll never get to do this and whatever it is again, because he's lost the entire movement of his right arm. And then it goes from that to when it goes into his hip, and will he ever get to walk again? And then it goes to his spine, and despite all of those things that Tyler went through, he always kept a positive attitude, and knowing that he just felt that, you know, his Bible verse and First Thessalonians and it talked about and just rejoicing always, and he chose to live his life according to that direction. And it is quite amazing when you have someone who chooses something despite his circumstances and regardless of what's going to happen to live that way, the power and energy that creates and inspiring mm-hmm. others. And so I hope I'm answering your question, but.
No, I mean, just to add to that, I would say, you know, the first time, I think he started off really strong.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he did. We had, I mean, throughout, you know, we've had amazing support between our neighborhood, our family, our community, our church, like all of that. But I think at some point during his first diagnosis, he wasn't doing so well. And he talks about that in the book. You know, he became suicidal. I slept on his floor. And he really struggled with feeling like he was fake. Like everyone, no one really knew that. We didn't mm-hmm. talk about it a whole lot. Yep. People were still giving him accolades and saying, you're so strong. And he knew he wasn't. And so when he got diagnosed for that second time, while he was greatly disappointed, he really did feel like he had a second chance to do things differently. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to waste it. He literally felt like he wasted his first battle. And he was like, yeah, I'm not doing that again.
It's strong and to a small degree. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned this, Tony, being injured in sports and doubting things and being in a dark place. I think it was so Tyler put to words, I think, what a lot of people feel to a very, very, you know, I'm not comparing situations, but to a very small degree. And I know that touched me a lot. And I'd say he certainly didn't waste his first bout because he learned from it.
Yes.
And that to me is the amazing thing that maybe going through that, the outcome of some of those dark times is would we be here? We don't know. And would it be mm-hmm. so incredible and impactful? Mm-hmm. We don't know. But but it may, the fortitude and the toughness. Mm-hmm. And we have a definition actually in the Colts building about toughness, and I'll read it to you. It's a relentless pursuit to get better every day, an obsession to finish. And I kept thinking about that.
Wow.
When I was reading the upset, I kept thinking about that over and over again, and it embodies. To me, that definition and some of the amazing things that came from this was Tyler starting to share a story, mm-hmm. right? The second and third time. Mm-hmm. Dance marathon, sitting on the Purdue Center for Cancer Research, right? The first student, I think, ever to sit on the board of that. The Be the Hope Now campaign for Riley, getting to share his story. He was a student. He wrote for the papers, all these amazing things, right?
Right.
Yeah, so in his 20 years of life, he accomplished more than I will ever accomplish in my entire life in terms of inspiring people and reaching people and what he was able to do. And it is just quite amazing. And Kelly and I both feel like that, you know, God creates us all for different purposes. You know, I'll never play professional, you know, football. I only weigh 155 pounds or whatever. But I have other gifts. And so his giftedness is what he got to do in his short life and Tyler's desire to raise awareness for pediatric cancer and find a cure.
I often say the miracle isn't that he was healed physically. The miracle is what you're looking at right there.
Yeah.
You know, the awareness, the funds, you know, how far reaching his story has gone. You know, the people that he's reached, the people he found favor with, like, it's crazy. I mean, all generations, that's the miracle.
Absolutely. Yeah. And share with us if people want to help out in Tyler's honor or memory, and what are some ways they can right now?
Well, there's actually four ways. We have an endowment in Tyler's name. Actually, there's five ways. They have an endowment in Tyler's name at Riley. There is the V Foundation in Tyler's name. There's the Purdue Center for Cancer Research.
Mm-hmm.
There's a full scholarship to Purdue.
Awesome.
So there's an entire full ride at Purdue. And then we started our own nonprofit, the Tyler Trent Foundation. And we're going to also use that money for research. All entities in at the moment, Tyler's raised a little over $2 million with everything he's done. We just feel like that's fantastic. and want to continue. And
don't slow down now. Keep it going.
So
well, that's awesome. And, and TylerTrentBook.com, I know, has a lot of wonderful information to a number of things that you're speaking about. And I should mention, too, the Dance Marathon Purdue Center. He's also, in my mind, the unofficial, still the unofficial Indiana sports ambassador to the world. And I include the Cubs in there.
Okay.
But he truly is an ambassador to the world. And then you guys, sort of back to the book, it's really well written. And you hear the voice. And I think a credit to his friend Scott that inspired him in some way to start recording or writing down some of these stories, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in 2017, when he was diagnosed for the second time, his friend Scott, who we go to church with, he came to Tyler and said, "This is kind of crazy, but like I'm just feeling like I'm supposed to start recording you. Like I don't know what this is about, but like what do you think?" And Tyler was like, you know, he was always on board. Honestly, if there was an open door that he was allowed to walk through, he was going to walk through it. Like, he did not back down. He did not shy away from opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so Scott has 2 years worth of not only, like, one-on-one personal interviews, times when we were even asked not to be there.
Yeah.
Because they were honest. I mean, some of them were in his memorial service. You know, they were conversations about the end of his life. Yeah. You know, he didn't want us to hear. All the different things that he was involved with, the award ceremonies, the just everything for 2 years. So that really, like, God totally prepared that. And that really helped drive the book and was able to, with our collaborator, write this book.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell Kelly the first time we understood in chapter one, Tyler talks about the song "You Are My Sunshine," and we didn't even know that about Tyler until we read that chapter. And then when you read that chapter, it brings on a whole new meaning and definition for Kelly and I, to what that song means to us. And but then in combination, what Kelly is saying, we also had a lot of coverage with ESPN. They spent 3 days with us, and lots of things didn't make it on the air. And then numerous hours of recording with our family, and just taking the stuff that Tyler had written and then all the information and compiling the book. And it's remarkable. I mean, I think that every chapter that Tyler – so the book is laid out a little bit differently. It's laid out in a way that Tyler's speaking, and then it's laid out in a way that Kelly and I is speaking. And when Tyler is speaking in the book, it is – totally him. It is his message. It is his words. It is his wit. You can totally hear his personality coming out. And I think it's quite remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely hear his voice. And in the humor, you just mentioned the wit. Talk about the GPA. He wishes, why you only got a 3.5? And the Secret Service stories.
And these
funny little barbs. And then there's a chance to see that, and then to hear your voices, you know, sort of right afterwards, right before, about maybe the same, maybe a little different. And I know certainly was probably not easy to write or talk about. And also parts of it very raw, but the last chapter, it's a devastating, wonderful life. I think you guys, your voices come through so honestly and with so much humility and again, ownership, you know, and this, and real. It felt so real. And you write about pain, and it was very impactful to me, on a personal level, watching it. Hopefully, someone who's just been married and hopefully can have kids someday and raise kids. I appreciate the standard you guys set and the lessons that I guess any married couple or anybody trying to raise kids that someday can learn from y'all. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So the book's amazing. You hear a bunch of different voices. You hear a lot of voices at the end of eulogies at the service of different people. And then you see how impactful Tyler's life was. And I want to go back to a book that we talked about before we got in here. And it's another book within The Upset that Tyler writes about. And I just learned from Kelly that a little more of the backstory, but it's When Breath Becomes Air. It was a book that we had on the part of the book club when we first started way back when. So I'm super excited about that. I got a chance to talk to Lucy Kalanithi, but it had quite an impact on him going back to school, as I understand it, right?
Yeah. So this past July, when he started talking about that he was going to go, or yes, this past July of 2000, when he started talking about that he was going to go back to school, you know, Tony and I looked at each other and we were like, what? There, no way. Yeah. Like, we just couldn't, we just let him talk. We kind of had our own off conversations. We weren't the type to tell him no, you know, like, just let's let him work this out. Let's let him think through this. Let's see how this plays out. But there was one day when his amazing palliative care nurse from Riley, Amy Haskamp, stopped by, and she did she wasn't supposed to do house visits. Like, that's not part of her job. She was not his hospice nurse, but we became very close to her. And she stopped by, and Tyler had quoted from that book, if I can read it.
Please.
There's a quote that says, from the OR doctor, Paul, it says, "That morning, I made a decision. I would push myself to return to the OR. Why? Because I could. Because that's who I was. Because I would have to learn to live in a different way, seeing death as an imposing visitor, but knowing that even if I'm dying, until I actually die, I'm still alive." And I will never forget that moment when Amy and I looked at each other and we just knew we had to do everything we could to get him back to Purdue for however long he could be there. And, you know, that's really when his story exploded.
Yeah.
You know, had he not been there for those 7-8 weeks, I think whatever it ended up being, I don't know that we'd be sitting here.
Yeah, because Kelly and I had to both look at a child who had cancer, but then look at a child who is now handicapped. And
we were dealing with both.
And so we had to make the house handicap accessible. He's in a wheelchair. There's a, you know, there's a lot of things to think about, and you have, you gain a new respect for parents who have children that are seriously injured or seriously ill. And your heart breaks for them. And it's,
but the things Riley did and IU Health and hospice, the thing, the lengths that they went through to make sure that he could be there. Off the charts.
And I want to say one accolade to Purdue University as well. Purdue went above and beyond. I just couldn't say enough positive things. They did everything that they could possibly do to make Tyler feel comfortable and welcome before they really knew who Tyler Trent was.
That's awesome. That's
and it was incredible.
That's great to hear. That's really cool. And it's awesome to hear that that Tyler read a story, a book about someone else and found something powerful in it that could, that he could share maybe in words that he couldn't articulate well. And I know people will find the same in Tyler's story, that, that, you know, he'll, he articulates things that maybe we can't verbalize, and verbalize how we feel. And before we go, I always, at the end of the podcast, we talk about books. We'll continue the conversation about books. So and I gave you a heads up, so I hope I hope you have a few. But what Tyler and his brothers, what do they read growing up? Anything else that, that they enjoyed?
So, and I think I mentioned this. They were, well, Tyler was homeschooled all the way through. Kind of hybrid situation. They went 2 days a week somewhere. They were home three. By the time he was in, like, junior high or high school, he pretty much taught himself. I didn't have to do a whole lot. But reading was absolutely central to our home and our life. And, I mean, I took some pictures of, like, his collection of books, which is, I don't even know what we're going to do with all of them. There's so many. But series were big. Like, if you want to start young, we could talk like Magic Treehouse.
And you could just throw things, random
he
things
loved
out there.
Nancy Drew. He loved the Hardy Boys. I mean, awesome. I did, you know, he loves Stephen King.
I do not like reading Stephen King novels.
Here's the thing. One of the things I'll say about Tyler, his books and his music is very eclectic.
Awesome.
Like it goes from one extreme to the next. Like there's no like rhyme or reason to like what he loved. But, you know, he just was really big about the classics he loved. There's Do Hard Things.
Okay.
The brothers, Alex and Brett Harris, they wrote a book called Do Hard Things, which is every boy should read.
Okay. I might have to go back and read it. I'm still a boy, right?
Every boy should read. It's a great book about life and just, you know, you just do the hard things and that's how you learn and that's how you live. And then, you know, his school, like I said, was classical. So they really had a lot of different books that they had to read. They had Socratic circles about and they had to talk about. You know, and he did, I mean, he liked contemporary Christian books too. There's a couple like Counterculture by David Platt, Rise Up by Tripp Lee. I don't know if you've heard of these before, but, and he also was really big on biographies.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loved biographies.
Yeah. I mean, anything that was real, like, you know, if it was a biography, it didn't matter really who it was about. Mm-hmm. He loved biographies. Yeah.
And he constantly, you know, not only would he read, but he'd also listen to mm-hmm. podcasts and listen to books on tape or, you know.
I love audiobooks.
Yeah, yeah, audiobooks. They're
great. He did too.
Yeah. I mean, he's told me that he would do, and I don't know if it's true or not, but he said he would do at least 100 books a year.
Good for him.
Yeah. So I think it might have been a little exaggerated.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. I believe it. It's 100%. Like,
well, when I look at his library, I don't doubt it. I'm just like, did you really read all? You know, I don't know. But he was raised that way.
That's awesome.
I'll just say that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for Tyler and your family and sharing and helping share Tyler's story and your own story within it. It's a real treat to see y'all. What an impact Tyler has had and will continue to have, and what an impact y'all are having. So thank you for joining the Book Club podcast, and dare I say, boiler up?
Say it all the way. Okay, little tidbit. So have you heard about the gate, the Tyler Trent student gate, what Ross Aid Stadium's doing?
No, I have not.
Okay, this is kind of big news. Mitch Daniels, so they are a memorial to Tyler. So it's, if you go to Ross Aid Stadium right now, it's just Gatey.
I went to a football camp at Ross Aid when I was a sophomore in a high school
right.
from Texas.
So the student gate is Gatey. Well, they are now making it the Tyler Trent student gate, and it's called Gate T-Squared.
Ah, wonderful.
Because I don't know what you know about T-Squared, but his driver's license, T-Squared, like that's, you know, it's the coolest thing ever. But the first home football game at Purdue is September 7th. It is the Hammerdown Cancer Game, which he was the honorary co-captain of the last 2 years, and it's also his birthday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that'll be the first time that students go through the gate, when it's revealed, when it, you know, so it's a really cool thing. So boiler up.
Yeah, boiler up, hammer down.
That's right.
Thank you so much for
joining.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.